So every week I do have notes for you, and sometimes I write better than I preach, sometimes I preach better than I write. Most of the time they're overlapped to a degree, but not all the time. And so you might get two sermons on a Sunday, depending upon what's spoken and what's written. So hopefully those things are helpful to you. Now again, I recognize that we speak about a lot of things, and if you come to church regularly, you hear a lot of sermons, okay? These things are good. Just like you don't remember every meal, the meal nourished you and helped you, and we can say amen to that, all right? And the hope is that there will be a thing or something that the Lord would speak to you that you'll remember from today. Now, this psalm is written specifically to people who are going through dryness. You heard the image. We're going to, of course, read it in its entirety. And there are some people in this room that are very much that way today. Even though you continue to read, even though you continue to worship, even though you continue to participate in the life of God in His body, there is just a dryness there. Now, this week, I put the little taglines. If you notice in the Psalms, that often, not always, but often there's like a Psalm of David in this situation or a Psalm of whatever. And so this week, there's the little heading there. If you can go to that, by the way, that would be super great. It says, go to the next one. I'm sorry. I'm jumping ahead a little bit. For the director of music, a maskil of the sons of Korah. So a little bit about that, okay? The sons of Korah were men who were vocationally charged to lead the worship in the temple, okay? So these were like the paid worship leaders and the paid priests who would take care of sacrifice and do all of that stuff. Now, it's important for us to recognize who wrote this psalm, okay? These were the vocational worship leaders. These were people who were literally in the presence of God or in the temple every single day, not just on Sabbath, but every day. And these folks are giving us the imagery that we read about today. That helps me a lot. It helps me because I'm a pastor. It is one of my callings. It's my calling or a vocational calling to participate and help to lead this, okay? And it helps to know that sometimes even leaders are dry, okay? Even if you are reading, which I am, even if you are praying, which I am, even if I am in the Word, which I am, and which perhaps you are as well. There are times in which that in our connection to the Lord, we don't feel like the tree planted by streams of water. Psalm 1, remember that, right? Overall, that would be the case. Overall, this is where we are to be, and we will grow, and we will mature, and we will bear fruit. But there are times in which you feel more like this deer, right? Panting for streams of water. And we're going to read that, okay? So it's okay to have both of these experiences. And I'll say this, in the totality of your life, you will have most of the experiences that are represented in the Psalms. Why? Because life is like that, right? There are times when we're rejoicing in the mountaintop and Hosanna in the highest, and sometimes we're saying, God, where are you, right? And so we have all of these experiences, and this is why we love the Psalms. It not only informs our mind, but it helps our emotions. It helps our spirit. It helps us when the feelings are here and when the feelings are fleeting and non-existent. So this psalm matters, okay? These words matter. And for you who are just feeling like your prayers are dirt, I hope that this will help you today. Those of you who are doing well, you will be reminded of times perhaps in your past and praise the Lord. Or these things could be preparation for times in the future. I don't know what's going to happen, but these words matter. So my hope is that you'll take it to heart, that they will be healing and helpful and provide a path for you forward in your journey of faith. Okay? So we're going to read Psalm 42. I encourage you to have your own scripture, if it's electronically or paper. If you don't have one, there's a Bible in front of you, because there's something about reading. And of course, they're going to be on the screens. But I hope that you have a printed version or a digital version where you're making notes and you're highlighting and reminding yourself, because there'll be encouragements to you in the future as you read these things again at that point, okay? So we're Psalm 42, which is on page 484, if you're looking at a Bible in front of you, and we're going to read it and hopefully get our mind around these words, and we'll work through them one at a time. So here we go. Psalm 42. For the director of music, a maskil of the sons of Korah. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, from the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day, the Lord directs His love. At night, His song is with me. A prayer to the God of my life. Now I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony, and my foes taunt me, saying to me again all day long, where is your God? Why, my soul, are you so downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. That's a powerful prayer. It's a powerful song. It's a reality of our life at times. It gives us a pathway forward in times of dryness or despondency or depression or hopelessness. What are we to do, even as a church person who knows the word and can sing the songs and preach the sermons? What are we to do when our reality of our emotions and our mental state and even our physical being are not in a place of goodness? What then? This psalm helps us with that. And so here are a few things that are outlined there that I want you to consider. First is this: bring your thirst to the living God. Did you catch that? Okay. As a deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? That's quite the illustration. So, deer, this is not a deer that's, you know, in a lush green place, kind of nonchalantly munching on the variety of goodness that is provided before them. Okay. That's not this picture, right? This is a picture of a deer that more than likely has been running for its life, right? Panting, just trying to survive, going from this place to that place and this thing to that thing to this fear to that fear. Sometimes you may feel that your life is like that, right? You're just running to keep alive, to pay the bills, to get the kids out with lunch, to make sure that you get to work, to come back, to do this, to take care of this thing or that person or that situation. You just go, 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 go. Have you ever been there? Okay. Our life is that way, just trying to survive. This is that deer, and perhaps it was dry in the land. I don't know. Perhaps all of the places in which they used to go for thirst, for water, were dried up and no longer there, and all they find is muck and mud and mire and fear and lost. This is a deer who is panting, breathing heavily, so much desiring to quench its thirst, to have what is necessary just to live. Right? That's the image. Right? It's a strong image. Now, perhaps you have felt that way at times. Perhaps, again, you feel that way even now, even in the midst of worship, even in the midst of word, even in the midst of prayer. Perhaps that is where you are yet today. The scripture's recommendation for us is this: bring your thirst to the living God, right? And because you have thirst doesn't mean you're spiritually dead. Dead things don't desire water, okay? Dry things do. And it's okay for at times, be it again, circumstances that are happening internally or circumstances that are happening externally, to recognize that you're dry. That's okay, that you're longing for something, but long for something that will satisfy. He longs for the living God. He longs to meet God, and God is the only one that can ultimately satisfy your soul. Right? There are other places in which that we can go for rest or try to go for life or try to think that this will help me. And the world offers you lots of wells that you can drink of, right? Go through your scrolling, look to a screen, look to a magazine, look to buying a boat or a bigger house or a bigger whatever or a nicer meal or better clothes or stronger muscles or a prettier face or whatever it is, right? Hey, 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 this is what you need, right? Hey, 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 I've got something for you, right? And we peddle our spiritual wares, by the way, all the time. And if you're drinking from a well other than the Lord, your soul will never be satisfied. Right? Bring your thirst to God. This is the first thing that our psalmist, our worship leader, acknowledges. He said, this is how I am. And he asks, when can I go and meet with God? And I would encourage you to go and meet with him. Beyond a spiritual practice, go through that to meet with God. Whatever it takes, meet with him. I don't know how that works for you. Right? I trust that it will be in alignment with his word, that you will open up it and God, speak to me. It could be with a song. It could be in a place in which has been set aside for service and seeking the Lord. It could be, I don't know where. But go to him. Bring your thirst to the living God. Second, when you're there, This is how the psalmist helps us. Pour out your soul before God. The psalmist continues in verse 3, my tears have been my food. Whoa, day and night. Well, people say to me all day long, where's your God now, goody two-shoes, church boy, godly girl? How's it now for you? How your tears taste? They taste salty, by the way. I have drank in them. My own tears, that is. Not yours. That would be weird. Okay. You've drank in your own. Drinking? You have drunk your own? Words are hard. You understand what I say. Not only are our circumstances hard, right? It's dry, you're running, you're weary, things are going. Then you have like an accuser, right? And your accuser might be someone that you know, mother-in-law perhaps. I'm joking. Your brother, your sister, your child. You know what I'm saying? It might be some of that. Hey, where's your God now? Hey, how's it going for you now? Those are those accusers, and then you have a supernatural accuser, right? He's ultimately behind it, right? He's really good at being really bad. And typically, the devil doesn't come at us when, my shoe's untied, so I'm going to talk in tie. Usually doesn't come at us when we're doing well. When did the devil come after Jesus, by the way? He's tired and hungry, lonely. Right? That's when he'll attack. He's like that, right? He won't come at you when you're doing great. He'll just wait until you're not. And then all of a sudden, the voices, or his voice, is amplified through a myriad of amplifiers. Yeah, how about that diagnosis? Yeah, how about that demotion? Yeah, how about that car accident? Or divorce? Or death? My tears have been my food day and night. I love that our worship leader acknowledges the reality of the inner working of their soul. Don't lie to God. You can't. Well, I better get myself all together before I go talk to God. Oh, that's what he tells you to do? Oh. Well, you know, I'll go to church when I'm doing well. That's when you're supposed to go. Tell him the truth. Come on. Hey, this is hard right now. Like your friend, right? Don't lie to your friends and don't lie to your father. He knows anyway. There's not nothing you're going to tell him. He's going to be like, really? I didn't know that. Tell me more. Oh, seriously, what are we thinking? Oh, this is how I'm doing. Part of it is for you to understand how you're doing. All right, some of you never slow down enough to catch up with yourself. Oh, quiet. What actually is going on in my soul? Even those of you who read your Bible all the time, I read my Bible every year. I do this, okay? I'm not trying to brag. It's just reality. I need it. Not because I'm a pastor, because I'm a person, right? I need this. It's the difference between reading your Bible to get it done and reading your Bible to meet with God. Right? God, I need you. Slowing down, okay, what's happening in my soul right now? I'm fill in the blank. Anxious, tired, afraid, fulfilled, happy, rejoicing. You can pick your flavor, but pick it honestly. Pour out your soul before the Lord. He's not scared of your questions, okay? And he's not unaware of what's going on. So talk to him like a friend, right? Use your words and use his words, right? This is what our psalmist friend is doing. And he remembers, right? I like this. These things, verse 4, these things I remember. How I used to go to the house of God, right? That helps, right? In one sense, in this regard, it's a double-edged sword. He's remembering what it used to be like, right? And then he's hoping that it'll be like this again in the future, and we'll see that, right? So memories, okay? Right now, we're building memories for our future faith. That's a good line. You're building some memories now, right? Psalm 42, right? Blessed are you, right? These songs that we sing, this scripture that we look at is going to be in our past, but it's going to help us with our future. Ordinary Sundays matter because they build in us the depository of faith. It heightens our soul's fuel just a little bit more, right? And helps us and helps us and helps us, and we fill it, and at times we withdraw from it, but you need this water, the ordinary times of worshiping and praising when you feel like it, and especially when you do not. Come on, brother. First, bring your thirst where? To the living God. If you're thirsty, go to him. Second, when you're there, just be honest. Pour out your soul before God. Third, preach hope to your downcast soul. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why are you so disturbed within me? Do you ever talk to yourself? You're laughing because you do it. I do too. It's actually kind of healthy, to be frankly honest. Hopefully it's godly self-talk, right? This psalm is telling you to be your own pastor. You know what I'm saying? Don't go to your pastor and hear preaching, right? Take stock of what's happening within inside yourself. Ask yourself some good questions. Hey, what's going on in here, right? Hey, what's happening in the home of your own soul, right? Then ask yourself some questions. And then preach to yourself. Put your hope in God, right? For you will yet praise him, David, Gretchen, Jake, Jim, Trudy, Jennifer. You will praise him. Sometimes you need to be your own pastor, right? Pastors assess what's going on and help us to look to the Lord. And God, will you speak to us? In this case, this individual needs hope, right? Put your hope not in your medicine, not in your bank account, not in your friends, not in your car, not in your country. Put your hope in God. God, who's above and beyond all of these things, right? Sometimes you need to talk to yourself, friends. Encourage yourself. Preach to yourself. Hey, I know it ain't good in there, but come on. Put your hope in God. I know it's dark, but there is a dawn coming. I know there's tears of sorrow, but yet there will be tears of joy. Come on, soul. Let's go. Put your hope in God, for yet I will praise Him. Who is my Savior, the one in whom will bring me out and through this valley of the shadow of death. The one who is with me in this difficult way. The one who will never leave me nor forsake me. Surely mercy and grace will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You will praise Him again. I hope it's in this life, but if not, you will in the next. Hey, put your hope in God. Preaching matters. And I want you to be the best preacher to yourself, because you know you better than any preacher can. Slow down. Assess, ask good questions. See what's going on and recognize what is needed and tell yourself, hey, do this. Christian hope is not denial. It is defiance and a defense against despair. Despair, by the way, does not get the final word. Sadness does not get the final word. Fear does not get the final word. God gets the final word. So preach hope to your soul, not once, but often as you need it, right? That's why you see this refrain in this psalm a couple times. It's here in the middle, and it's here in the end. This is where it's leaving it. Sometimes you need to preach to yourself in the morning, and then in the afternoon, and then in the evening, and then late at night, and keep preaching, friend, right? You'll get the message, and God will get you through. Even though I walk through, I love that word. Despair isn't a destination. It's just part of the journey. Keep going. Keep going. And it's okay if you're there, okay? Don't beat yourself up. Be honest. Go to the Lord. Talk to yourself. Right? Know that God is good. And this is the next thing. Remember God, okay? Remember Him. Remember Him. Remember Him. When the waves go over you, right? And this is kind of crazy, where we start out with a deer that's dehydrated, and then we have a person who is drowning, right? What's happening? My soul is downcast within me, therefore, oh, I love that word. My soul is downcast within me. Recognize what is, right? It's rough right now. Therefore, I will remember you. Not when I'm in the temple and this guy is saying, hey, from the land of Jordan, okay, from the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mazar, okay, this is a long way away from the center of worship in Israel, right? It's way up north, right, where things are a little shady up there. He's saying, listen, I feel a long way away from the place of connection and community with you and with others. But the deep that is within us, because God put it there, the depths of our soul, calls out to the deep which is in God. Deep calls to deep. And he goes on, in the roar of your waterfall, all your waves and breakers have swept over me. This is going from dehydrated to drowning. Have you ever felt like you were drowning before? Right? I have. Right? Get into the ocean and you're there, and all of a sudden you eat somebody out somewhere else. Here comes another wave. And here comes another wave. That's tough going, friends. There's times that can be described as a deer dehydrated and a person drowning, that nothing is solid, and there's one thing after another thing after another thing after another thing. Come on, Job, right? Hey, where's God now? Where's that rock you say you're anchored to and you are just floundering? There are times in which we are floundering. So what are we to do? I will remember. I will remember, which means that past experiences of with God matter for our present realities today. Okay. Matters. I remember your word. This is why we need to get it in our mind again and again and again. I remember your goodness. I remember that song. I remember that hug. I remember that prayer. I remember your presence. I remember, even though I'm way far away and I feel like I'm drowning. God, rescue me. Let your pain become a prompt to remember the presence of God in the present. Amen. Amen. Prompt. God, I love you. I know you're good. Drowning. Help. I will remember you. Remember God from the far country. Remember God from the place of disappointment. Remember God from the hospital room. Remember God from the quiet house. Remember God from the strained relationship. Remember God from the season where worship feels distant. Remember God from the place where your soul feels low. Remember Him. Remembering God doesn't mean that this will prevent the sorrow to be present. Remembering God brings God into the sorrow. Helps us. Remembering His character, remembering His works, remembering His promises, remembering His faithfulness, remembering His people, remembering His Son, who knows what it was to have a downcast soul. Jesus understands what it's like to have wave after wave after wave. Jesus has been through the valley of the shadow of death and overcome it. That is why He can lead you through it, because He's already been there, friends. He relates to a sorrow in a level in which most of us will never go. He's been to that depth. Come out through it. And praises beyond it. Amen. Amen. We love that about Jesus. Right? He relates to us. And He walks with us. And He will never forsake us. Whew. Yeah, Jesus knows that. Being betrayed by a friend? Being falsely accused? He knows that. Being in physical pain? He knows all about that. humiliated, you know, spit on all the stuff. He knows the deepest waves have already broken over Christ, and he is overcome. Remember God when the waves go over you. Next, rest in God's love until praise returns. I like that. The psalmist is still struggling at the end. Again, he's both dehydrated and drowning at the same time. Right? It's like being in a shipwreck. You need water so bad and you're surrounded by water, but you can't drink it. And yet in verse 8, right, verse 8, if you can put that up there, please, thank you. By day, the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is with me. A prayer to the God of my life. Now, remember he said, hey, my tears is the only thing that I've been chewing on. Day and night. And then he says, at the same time, your love has been with me and your song is with me, right? At night, at day. I love that. It's an incredible thing to recognize. The God who binds himself to his people and does not let them go. He says, I'm having tears, but by day his love is with me. At night his song is with me. God's love and his song is still here even when I'm dining on my own tears. That's good for us to remember. Right? It's good for us to praise him. And sometimes our praise is barely a whisper. Sometimes it comes through tears. Sing his song anyway. Amen. It's by no mistake that Paul and Silas, when they were in shackles in a dark cell in the middle of the night, because they were serving Jesus, they could have sat there and said, this is the worst. Was it the worst? Yeah, pretty bad. How does that whip mark feel, Saul? How does that stone impacting wound feel, Paul? How does that dank, cold cell feel? How good are those chains? What were they doing? Singing. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O my soul. Worship his holy name. Oh, my soul, worship your holy name, bringing hope and healing and life. They didn't wait to sing that song when the chains were gone. They sung it when the chains were on. Sing. I don't care if you feel like it. Your soul needs you to sing. So know the songs of faith. Often when I go to a bedside, we say a prayer and we often sing a song. Why? Because we remember it. Even when our mind is gone, our body remembers. It's incredible that way. You will go through it, and you will grow through it. Keep going. So when you are downcast and dry, go to Christ. Jesus, by no mistake, said that he is the living water for thirsty souls. That's what he said about himself. Jesus, the man of sorrow who understands our grief. Jesus, the faithful son who poured out his soul to the Father. Jesus, the Savior who went under the deepest waves of judgment and rose again. Jesus is the one who can say to every weary believer, your story is not over, yet you will praise him. So praise him in this storm, right? And don't despise your thirst. You're alive. Bring your thirst to him. Don't hide your tears. Come on, man. Stop that nonsense. Be honest. Pour them out to him. Don't only listen to your soul. Preach to it. Speak the truth of God's work to your soul. Don't let the waves convince you that God has forgotten you. He has not. Remember his love. And if you can't sing, let the church sing for you. Around you. If you cannot see clearly, let his word give you light. If you cannot feel strong, let Christ hold you. The psalmist asks, where is your God? The gospel answers, he has come near in Jesus Christ. He's entered your sorrow. He's carried your sin. He has risen from the dead. He has poured out his spirit. He is with his people, and he will bring you safely home. It's the power of the gospel. So, downcast soul today, put your hope in God. You might not feel like praise today, but you will praise him. He is your Savior. He is your God. So we're going to pray and we're going to sing. And if you say, hey, will you pray for me today? Yeah. I'll pray for you. Prayer folks will pray for you. Other prayer folks there will pray for you. We will pray tonight. I hope to see you there tonight. And if you can't sing, we'll sing for you. God, I'm so thankful for my faithful friends that we get to journey together. God, I know a lot of stories. Sometimes I know my own story and it gets hard at times. God, I'm thankful that your people continue to persevere and press in and praise you and pray and gather. God, I pray for a friend, friends in here, plural. I may be saying, yeah, Pastor, that's me right now. Show them your goodness in the land of the living, God. Fuse them with hope today. Help them to praise through tears and preach to their downcast soul, God. Yet we will praise you. Grateful for the gathered saints, for people we can lean on. Grateful that others will shine a light so we know where to go, like the sons of Korah, the paid worship leaders who were struggling. Thank you that these words are here, that you always offer us hope. And may we leave this place today with a song in our heart, regardless of our emotional state. Let us remember the love of the Lord, that He is good and His love will endure forever. And yet we will praise Him in Jesus' name. Amen.